You found your place there in Revelation chapter 2. I want to share a thought with you tonight on the importance of remembering your first love. Notice chapter 2, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write." Now, there are seven that are going to be mentioned in total. Ephesus is the first one mentioned. I believe that's on purpose. I believe one of the obvious reasons that this church is mentioned first is that the other churches that are mentioned were actually a result of the ministry of the church in Ephesus. And so it's going to start, if you will, with the mother church. You can go back and look at the ministry there with Paul in Acts chapter 18 and especially chapter 19, where he ministered so many times in Ephesus. He encouraged the elders there. He spent time there. He trained Timothy. Timothy would be the pastor there. And many believe also that even the apostle John would spend the last years of his life there before his exile to Patmos. And so we are looking at the church of Ephesus here. It says, "These things write, saith he, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." He is referring to Jesus. "Holdeth the seven stars in his right hand" is speaking about the churches, but even more specifically, the leaders, the pastors of these churches, "who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." And he says here, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake," that's very important, note that, "for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us in these next few moments as we look to your word. And Lord, I believe everyone here, in my heart, I do believe everyone here wants to love you like we should. And God, we don't want to lose that first love, that love that is to be prioritized above all other loves, the love of God. And I pray that even tonight you would just give us an encouragement, a renewal of Lord, your will concerning keeping the first love. And so help us now and then to follow as we sing more together. I pray that it would just bring you honor and glory. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to Kathy before the service, and you know, many of us have experienced losing things. I have a propensity of misplacing my sunglasses or my phone or my wallet. Has anybody else come around there? A few of you? Okay. Thank you, Hunter. We got one honest one in the sanctuary tonight. I'm just kidding. We all can misplace things, but then, you know, you always have, again, I mentioned that good friend this morning, this when you're looking for it and they ask that question, "Where was the last place you had it?" Well, if I knew that. So you do go back and you try to backtrack and you say, "Man, I thought I was here. I thought this was the last place I had it." And you're searching around for it. And sure enough, you'll come across it eventually. I'll tell you the truth. My wife is the one who finds most things around our house. And she just knows where it's at. And I've gone and looked for things in the refrigerator. I said, you know, it's been so bad that I can't find the gallon of milk. Now that's bad. I said, "It's in there. It's in there." It really is. It always is when she's saying that, "I don't see it." But nevertheless, we do lose things and we have a hard time with keeping up with things. But you know, when we think about losing our first love, as Jesus had this one thing against the church of Ephesus, it was a big one. It was a big one. And what makes it so interesting is he did commend them on all the things they were doing well. It says there in your Bible, remember, he says, I know your works. Boy, I know your labor. You're working, church. You're laboring. You are moving. You are serving. He says, I know your patience. That speaks of endurance. This church was going through trials. I'll remind you of their environment. They in Ephesus, it was a capital city, and there was so much activity. And in fact, one of the most well-known places, one of the seven wonders of the world that people go to this day, the Temple Diana over in Ephesus that they view, and all the activity, the ungodly, sinful activity that surrounded that temple that was going on. This is where that church was, and this church was enduring through that. I'm sure they were being persecuted. I'm sure they were being ridiculed. I'm sure they were being looked down upon. I'm sure their children were facing temptation like our children are facing today, but probably at a whole nother level. I'm sure they were being influenced by the culture there. But this was a church that was enduring. And it says, you didn't put up with those that were evil. They had a separation about them. They had discernment they had spiritual discernment. It said, you can't even bear them up, which are evil. They didn't stick their head in the sand when they saw evil. They called it out. And it says, thou hast even tried them that say they are apostles. Boy, they were a discerning group of people that really tried to determine whether these people were of God, whether they were preaching the word. I'll tell you what. And they found them out. They found them to be liars. Not only that, thou hast borne. Again, it's talking about this endurance and has had patience. There it is again. They had been going through a lot. And they did it, get this, they did it for the right reason. That's another commendation here. That's another way that the Lord is truly encouraging them in the sense, hey, you're doing this right. For my name's sake, you have labored. You're doing it for the right reasons. I mean, you go through this list, and this is like, wow, this is good. Then it says you hadn't fainted. You hadn't quit. Then Jesus takes a turn here. He says, nevertheless, there is something I have against you because you left your first love. I want to give you this thought here tonight. This is an example that I believe the Ephesian church gives us, and we can take it as a warning. That we can have the right beliefs. We can have the outward labor and service for the Lord. But we need to understand that neither one of those things can make up for a cold heart. And we as a church have to be on guard against that. I, as your pastor, have to be on guard. In fact, it's one of my goals, and I ask you to pray for me in this sabbatical. I'm praying that God would not let my heart be cold in the ministry. I'm praying for a renewal, a fresh love for my Lord, and just serving Him because I love Him. Not because I'm just trying to check off a list. I want to be freshly in love with my Lord every day. That's what Jesus is going out here. Church, you're doing a lot of good things. But please, He's saying, look, you have gotten to a place where you have forgotten about me. And what had happened here, what has happened, is basically the work of the ministry and the things that they were doing for the Lord became an idol. That's what they were worshiping. When the Lord says, look, I want you to do this from an outflow of love for me. And that's where we recall, even as we look at this together tonight, we want to keep the song in the heart. Amen. That's why we can come to a service like that and not just live lip service. We sing these songs. We should sing them from the heart. Let these words be meditated upon, and because we want to love the Lord. You know, when Joanna and I were in Bible college and I was pursuing her, those were days where I was, seeking the Lord's will, and so was she. And as the Lord was bringing us together, there were things that I began to see in her life. And I was like, you know what? This is what I'm looking for in a godly woman. And the Lord was so gracious to allow us to start to get to know each other and dating and whatnot. She was very patient with me because there was one point in the relationship I got cold feet. I got scared. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but I just got scared. And I was like, oh no, am I messing up here? Not that I thought necessarily was the wrong one. I just didn't want to go forward not knowing 100% for sure. Well, I told her that I feel like we needed to take a little break. And she'll probably tell it different than I tell it. You know how that goes, you know, just a little different perspective. I probably did say, you know, hey, I need to call this off. I just don't have peace and I just don't want to continue getting serious. Make a long story short, we took a missions trip together that same year, a few months later, and I got to see her outside of the school atmosphere. It was just a lot of stress and pressure, just lots of things going on. Everybody's, you know, all the students are just all being nosy, you know, and it's a little different feel. So we were able to take this mission trip with our college and career group up to New York City. And I tell you what, the Lord just opened up the heaven for me. And I saw her in ministry. I saw her just a little bit more. I just felt like she was more relaxed. I was more relaxed. And God just used that trip in many ways to confirm that she was the one. And so I'm not going to tell you this whole story, but I had to call her dad the second time. I'm just tell you, I don't believe in purgatory. But if there was, I'm telling you what, that was tough. I felt bad calling him, and I gave him this long spiel of 20 minutes. I think I was timing it. I gave him every reason why I had prayed through this, worked through this, got peace about it, and he was listening, yeah. And when I got to the end of explaining that to Brother Ike DeFlesh, Dad Ike DeFlesh, I explained it in his words out of his mouth. You've probably heard the story. He said, now run that by me one more time. And I did. Because I really wanted my sweet Joanna. I knew she was the one. And I started pursuing her. And we got very serious very quickly. And wasn't long after that, I asked her to marry me. In that engagement. Just the sweet time there. And then just that wedding ceremony, just love's in the air, you know, just the commitment, the vows. But here's one thing I've learned about our marriage. That love fades at time. It really does. And when I realize that, I realize we've gotten off track. Now, I'll say this, love, I believe, is agape love is unconditional. But you know what I mean. I'm talking about the commitment and the desire for one another to be with each other. Things come in life and pull at you in different directions. And I'm just being honest with you. There are times in life where you kind of have a wake-up call and you realize, oh my goodness, we're not doing real well right now. We're struggling. And you come back and you realize, what do we need to do? Sometimes it's busyness. Sometimes it's trials. Sometimes it's just life and things that come up. It can be a variety of things. But what you do is you come back together, and what by God's grace we've been able to do is saying, let's come back. Let's do something about this. Let's start spending some more time together. Let's start being consistent with our dates, or let's go to a marriage conference. Let's be proactive about getting that love back to where it should be. And by God's grace, we do that. But listen, I want to tell you, it's the same way with our walk with our Lord Jesus. We are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the groom. We are the bride. And He is always faithful. He is always there to love us. And He loves us perfectly. But there are times as His bride that we drift away. And we got to get back. And many times it's going back to personal devotions. Making just that sweet communion time with Him a priority. It's making that time spending time in prayer, talking with Him. It's that time, it's that prayer line, it's that connection that keeps it going. I notice when Joanne and I haven't talked in a while, and whatever it is in life, we just hadn't sat down and just talked, we grow distant. And get this. Sometimes it can feel, even as a married couple, that you're just existing under the same roof. Hey, I'm being real, folks. This happens. Christian couples. People that love the Lord. But you know the same thing can happen. We can come in here to church just like this. And be under the same roof together. To be here to worship the Lord. But our hearts be cold and distant. So what do? We remember. He says, remember where you've come, where you've fallen. Go back to where you lived. You say, well, I don't remember where I fell off. Well, that's where you begin the search. You know, like I said, the illustration, walking around the house, man, I was laying in the bed, the closet, the kitchen, I'm all over the place. But eventually, there it is. I want to tell you the same thing will happen with you. You seek the Lord. You say, God, I don't know where I got off, but my heart is cold. I want back. And you begin to search, and God will lead you right to where you left it off. And you will be renewed. You remember, and then you return. That's the same idea of repent. Jesus says, repent. And He says, or I'm going to come and I'm going to remove the candlestick. He's talking about a local church here. He's talking about that basically the church is going to shut down if you don't get back to your first love. But I believe it applies individually. And so what do? You return and then you renew. It's just like you've heard of people renewing their wedding vows. They sometimes do it on their 10th or their 20th or 25th. You know, there is an element there in the Christian life where we need to renew our vows and our love to the Lord. And I'm thankful that we can do that, and God will renew that, and we can get back to our first love. I'm just being honest with you, church, here. I'm just trying to be very transparent with you. Let's be real. As Christians, we sometimes fade in our love for our Lord. It gets faded. It gets cloudy. And we need to make it a point to say, God, I don't want to live that way. I want my love to be fresh like it was when You saved me. I want to, if I can use this term reverently, Lord, I want to spend time with You like I did in the beginning. I don't want that to grow old. And I feel that the same way with my marriage. Joanna, I want to love You like I did in the very beginning, and plus more, and grow and grow and grow my desire for You. So may the Lord help us to keep that sweet love renewed. And even tonight as we sing, let's let the Lord just be honored as we sing to Him out of a heart of love. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. And we do, Lord Jesus, ask You to protect us from getting so busy in doing all the right things and all the right way, which I know pleases You. But yet, Lord, doing it out of a cold heart, I know displeases You. And so I pray that you would give a revival to your church. And Lord, I don't mean to sound weird by praying this, but Lord, I pray that you'd even do that while I'm gone. That this church will experience a renewing, a reviving of the first love. I pray you'd use Brother Spencer as he'll come and proclaim and preach the Word of the living God. And I pray you'd do the same for me and my heart and Joanna and the children. I pray you'd just do a work in all of our hearts together in falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. Oh God, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're our Savior. You're our God. And we want to love you more. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.